stood out, of course, in chapter number two, especially is the wise men. And of course, tonight being our candlelight service, it's very easy to stop and reflect on light. And the light that Jesus Christ gives and is and brings and has brought to this world through his birth, but Lord, also to my life and I hope to your life as well, that Christ has shown his light to us and in us and now desires to shine his light through us. And so I just kind of, again, I'm not going to call this necessarily a message, maybe a Bible study, maybe just pastors random thinking about light. Maybe that's what we'll call it tonight. But I just want to just think. Just look at a few aspects about light. Of course, we'd understand light was the first thing when God came down and blessed this earth with his presence and then began to create upon it the world that we know. The first thing he said in Genesis in chapter 1 and verse number 3 is, "Let there be light." And guess what? There was light and it was good. And certainly we all benefit from the light here. Here right now, this time of year, especially with the snow and the cold out there, we wish we were a lot closer to the light. Amen. That we might be able to warm up a little bit. But we have to understand the importance of light and the working of the light that God has provided for all men. And it wasn't just God's intent that there would be light upon this earth, but it's his intent that we would be able to understand the source of light that this earth has, and that's him. You think of the power that the sun radiates and the power that it has upon the earth and the enormity of the size of the sun. I've always been fascinated just to even think, when people, I don't remember, know if you remember that video we had that we kind of gave away here a few years ago called How Big Is God? And they said, you know, the you could put like so many Earths inside the sun and the sun. But then they didn't even think that the sun as a star and as our source of light and heat and all those things, the sun isn't even like the biggest star that's out there. I mean, it's just one of them. And it goes along with, the power of God. You say, well, how did the sun become? Well, God said, let there be light. And then there's another verse that said, and he made the stars also, you know, and just to think of the power of the light that we have on this earth and then to think it's just nothing but a byline to God. I mean, quite honestly, it's an amazing, amazing thought. It is just simply a passing. Oh, yeah. And let's make the stars also. It is simply just a phenomenal thought to just be able to comprehend and to think about how amazing God is, how big God is, how powerful God is. And then to think that one day when we get to heaven, in Revelation in chapter 22, verse 5, it says that we need no light there, neither candle nor sun, for God is the light. And we're going to know light one day in heaven greater than we've ever known light to ever be. And there will be no night there. There'll be no darkness there because God is radiant light at all times for us. And there'll be no more darkness nor night when that time comes. And so the idea of light, but not just the power of light that we see in creation, and not just the power that we know, yeah, one day in heaven, but then to just think about the way God used light in our own lives. And as thinking about Christmas, it was just so easy this last week to just think about the light for the shepherds. And I just kind of just some different ways God uses light in our lives. In the case of the shepherds in Matthew in chapter 2 here, we see that God guides with light. He guides with light. If you look in Matthew 2 and in verse number 2, it says, so the wise men from the east to Jerusalem, verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." They saw a star. They saw a light source that was guiding them in the way that they should go, that was guiding them in their direction to God. They were looking to a light. And then it says in verse number 9, after they had left Herod, Herod. It says, and when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And God literally used this light, this star, to guide them directly to the place where Jesus was. And we have that that blessing that God desires to guide us with light. And I know it's not a star, but just when you think about the guidance that God gives unto men with light, and we understand this about His Word being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And you and I, if we have a problem with the guidance that God wants to give in our life, it's because we are not connecting ourselves with the direction that He is giving. I mean, here they think of these shepherds, and they just saw this star in the east. They knew somehow it was something that they were supposed to follow. It was a guide unto them, and they followed the light till they came to the path of where God was leading them and directing them. And you say, whatever happened to those old wise men, and what else did God do in their life? And man, it's going to be wonderful one day to know in the sweet by and by, but understand with me, we know this, that they were obedient to the light that God had given them, and that they followed in the light. And I'm just so blessed in my life, not only to have been given light spiritually speaking, and to be given guidance spiritually speaking. I'm just so blessed. But friend, listen to me. There's nobody in America that hasn't got the blessing of the guidance of the Word of God. I mean, we are just, the problem is probably this, and I tell my kids this all the time when they're going through fits of selfishness, and when they pout about having to do, like, praise the Lord this afternoon, we moved about 2 cords of wood. It was awesome. It was great kid dad fun. It was just a good time, and got to stack some wood, and we had some attitudes at first. You know, not everybody was excited about stacking cordwood, you know, and yet we stopped and reminded, man, it's sure nice to be warm inside, isn't it? And we all got our tummies full before. I mean, I literally, the biggest problem in our household that I heard of today is that we're running low on cream cheese. That's the biggest complaint I heard. I mean, a serious, serious complaint. And I'm just saying, in America, it's not, our problem is not that we have too little guidance spiritually. The problem is there's so much guidance spiritually. Some of it can just be distracting from the truth, quite honestly. But on the other hand, we've taken for granted so much. And I'm telling you, as Americans, of whom much is given, much is going to be required. And I'm telling you, we have been so blessed, and I think of just my own upbringing and growing up in church and growing up with Christian parents and them desiring for us to just serve God and love God and follow after God in our lives. And I'm just very much mindful and desirous that that is not the norm, that parents that generally walk with God, that all their children are following after God. It's not the norm. You say, well, why is that? I wish I could give you a great explanation to why that is. But I think a little bit of it, in fact, maybe a lot of it, is just you're flat spoiled, kids. I'm just telling you, you're spoiled. And don't ever take for granted the guidance that God has allowed you to have in your life. Don't ever stop and just say, "Well, yeah, sure, church, and I'll have time for church when I get older, and I don't need to take time to pay attention to the preaching or the teaching, and I've just got my own strategy of life." I'm telling you, you need God's guidance in your life. Amen. You do, I do. The oldest person here still needs God's guidance in your life. And God's given us light to be a guide unto us. He has. He's given us His Word as a light unto our path, a light unto our life. He desires to guide us in this life. And then over just the thought of the guidance of the light of God just got me thinking about the different things in the Christmas story. We also know this over in Luke in chapter number 2, if you want to look over there. Luke in chapter number 2. We see the shepherds as they were come in to the Christmas story, or brought in, I guess, to the Christmas story. And in Luke in chapter number 2, it says in verse number It says in verse number 8, "And there in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." And certainly we would be too. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And I'm telling you, what an amazing moment this must have been. This honestly is my favorite part of the Christmas story right here, is when you had all these shepherds, just common, plain old men, just sitting out there in the field at night. And maybe, I'm just in my mind's eye, I just picture a group of guys sitting around the campfire, just relaxing from a long day of shepherding and guiding and leading and making sure the sheep got to the right pastures and right to the right water and all the things that would be involved in taking care of livestock. And that is not a lazy job at all. That's quite honestly hard work, and they would have been tired from the day. And then all of a sudden the lights came on. And you say, well, it doesn't say lights came on. It says the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And I just encourage you, go, what does it mean that the glory of the Lord shone round about them? It literally means this. It means to illuminate all. I mean, it means to shine around. That's what the glory of the Lord shone round about them is that everywhere around them, I mean, there was nothing but light. And it was just a glorious light that was there, and I mean, it just went from just the glow of the campfire and the nice peaceful song of the crickets and maybe a sheep lowing or cattle lowing. I don't know what that is, but I imagine there was you got animals, you got noises, and just that calm, peaceful evening, and all of a sudden, boom, the lights came on, and the glory of the Lord, and then to see the angels and them flying around crying glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth and goodwill toward men, and I'm just I just imagine the scene as they were able to see the glory of the Lord shone round about them. It wasn't a matter of, okay, I'm going to roll over and go back to sleep. You know, it wasn't that. Or, man, I'm glad that racket's done. And praise the Lord, we got that over. And we can get back to, whatever else we're doing out here in the dark. But no, I think that when that was over, they were all like, what? That just happened, and pinching one another. And there was an excitement among them because the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the reality is this, that we have opportunity, that we get to be in literally the very presence of God on any given moment in time. We do. I mean, we get that. I mean, they had that. That was something that would be completely foreign unto them. But you and I have the opportunity to go into the very presence of God and to be in the presence of God anytime that we desire. And you say, well, what happens in the presence of God? You know what? The glory of the Lord is there. No, you remember back in the temple where they had the Holy of Holies and only the high priest could go in there, and once a year, and there was the altar of God, and you say, well, what was so special there? The glory of God rested in that place. No, the glory of God was there among that altar and there in that holy place. And we have to understand this. There's a special place to be, and God desires to give us glorious light in our life. God doesn't desire that we just relax our way through life, and we're just waiting for Jesus to come, and behold, Lord, come quickly, and you know, poor us, and we just have a hard life and hard. I mean, we have to work 40 hours a week, and you know, we're just so busy, and we got big problems, like we're running low on cream cheese, you know. No, I'm talking to all of us. I don't know anybody in here that would just say, man, my problems are just super duper big problems. I mean, it's got this problem, that problem, that problem. I would dare say this, if that's your testimony, that man, God hasn't provided here, and God hasn't provided here, and God's not doing, and God's not working. I'm just saying, it's probably that you're not probably spending very much time trying to get into the place where the glory of the Lord shines round about. Because I'm telling you, when you're able to spend time with the Lord and just spend time in the presence of God and spend time in just the Word of God and in prayer with God and you're able to just commune with God and be in a fellowship with God, it's not hard just to walk around and just say, man, we have blessings here and we have blessings here and God's good about this situation and in that situation and even in the difficult situations, we can still stop and we can still see, man, God's still working, God's still good, and God's still providing, and we have this confidence that God's going to take care of whatever that need is. Amen. You say, what kind of living is that? It's living in the glory of God. Amen. And just an understanding of how good and how glorious and how wonderful God is. And you say, well, we just can't always live like that with this Pollyanna-like like attitude about life. And that's not at all what I'm talking about. There's nothing Pollyanna about just stopping on a regular daily basis and just reminding ourselves of how good and how great and how glorious our God is. Amen. Not everything goes right. Not everything's perfect. But I'm telling you, our God, listen, He has an ability to, in the darkest times of life, to shine His glory round about in such a way that I'm telling you, should just leave our jaws on the floor, that we would be in awe, that we have a God that can come into, that is willing to allow us to come in to His presence. So He gives us a guiding light, a glorious light. And then we understand that Jesus Christ came. And as Christ came to this earth, well, in John 1, he doesn't start with a Christmas story, but he just kind of, again, just kind of says, hey, Jesus came, and guess what? Jesus was light. That's what he was. That's what he came to do. As he was in the beginning, when light was created first, as he came to this earth, he came with light. It says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. You say, what do you mean, the Word? I mean Jesus Christ. How do you know that? Verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus Christ, the Word, was made manifest unto us. What's that talking about? His birth. So I guess sort of it's talking about Christmas, amen. Follow the logic. It works. It really does. It says in verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. His life was the light of men, and His desire is that we might be able to be a recipient of His life, and as a recipient of His life through salvation, listen, we too become a light, not of our own selves, because of His light that's in us. So we understand this, it's a saving light. This light that came to this earth, it was a saving light. And it says over in John chapter 8 in verse number 12, John 8 verse 12, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. I have life today, and I have light today, and I have guidance, and I get to be in the glorious presence of Almighty God because of the light that He gave me through salvation. And praise the Lord, you go to 1 John I mean, probably just some of the most poetic words, honestly, I think in the Bible are here in 1 John in chapter number 1. And he just says this in 1 John 1 in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which our eye with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I'm just so thankful for the saving light of Jesus Christ that shines abroad to all men, that we might be able to have life, and not just life that we can just get through. Like, I'm on my way to heaven, and then we have to have some kind of outside stimulus to stir us up about that. I don't want anything to do with the type of Christianity that it takes some kind of a band or some kind of a cheerleading squad to get me excited about the reality that I have life in Jesus Christ because he shined his light down upon me. If I can't get excited about the Word of God and the declaration and the reading and the application of it to my life, then friend, there is something wrong with the life that I claim to have. There is something wrong with the light that I claim to be shining forth. If I need somebody else to stroke that fire to get the flame burning so that light can be seen, his Word ought to be able to do that. Well, why? Because in him is light, and there is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. Now listen. And this is for Scotty's sake. I don't hate Star Wars. All right, Scott? Amen. Praise the Lord. But listen. This isn't what's going on. Is that there's this dark side and there's this light side, and we need to walk with the force, and we'll call the force the Spirit of God. And somebody was trying to, maybe in my own family even, trying to spiritualize Star Wars for me here just the other day. And I said, please stop and don't ever talk to me about this ever again. We can talk about anything other than Star Wars being some spiritual, you know, film. But listen, quite honestly, you can walk in the glorious, guiding light of Almighty God, or friend, you are in darkness. It's the only two things. It's the only two way. I mean, you're either going to walk in the light of God. You're either walk in the fact that God is light, or you're going to be in darkness. I'm not talking about whether you're saved or lost. I think there's a lot of saved people that spend a lot of time walking in darkness. Yes. Not necessarily even like horribly bad things. It's just not in the light of God. And because it's not walking in the presence of God and the light of God and the direction of God, we spend so much time in just frivolous things. I like things. I have thoughts and I have ideas. I mean, I got hobbies I'd like to be involved in. And my wife is always reminding us, when are you going to have time to do that? She has her complaint about everything. Well, we could do this. Well, when are you? So you spend that money, and when are you going to have time to do it? Because we got this going on at church, and this going on at church, and we got this going, this ministry going, and that ministry going, and you're planning on going helping this church and that church, and when in the world are you going to find time to do that? I'm not against hobbies. I'm just telling you, it just seems that God can get us so busy in the ministry. And I'm not complaining about that at all. I'm thankful that we have things to do. Praise the Lord, and God's given us a ministry, and God's given us people to minister to, and I'm thankful for so many in this room that just you just have a heart that there's no time for hobbies because our hobby is serving God. That's just what it is. I mean, there's always something going on at church. Yeah, there is. It just seems like our life is just all built up around church and the things of God, and it is. You say, well, why is that? Because, well, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. No, you can go on and read that in 1 John chapter 1. And I'm just saying that, listen, the reason you say, well, why can't we go out and involve ourselves in some of the great things this world has to offer? Because, listen, the world doesn't have any light to offer. Has none. Has zero. I'm not saying everything out there they're offering is like so horribly bad that it just wreck your life spiritually and you'd never be the same. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I've got too much light to walk in to go walk out in darkness. I do. I've got far too much. It's a saving light I get to walk in. And then lastly this evening, just Matthew 5. And I've hinted on this already, I know, but Matthew in chapter number 5, it's a reflected light. It's a reflected light. Christ puts His light in me. He put His light, if you're saved tonight, in you, so that it could be seen. It says in Matthew 5, verse number 14, says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You say, well, why does He get all the glory? Because it's His light. He created it. He sent it to earth. He offered it unto you as a free gift, so that it might be reflected in you unto all men. And I'm telling you, if you have the light of God in you, I mean, the greatest gift ever given to man, how dare we allow it to be hid? How dare we have it not be seen? How dare we would be doing so many things out here in the darkness of this world that the light of God wouldn't be seen? I'm telling you, there's nothing that we should be involved in this world that would not be for the purpose of the light of God being seen. One of the missionaries we're gonna introduce you all to, dear friend of my wife. And they're in Nauru. It's over by. I've been trying to look for missionaries that are outside of the areas where we support a lot of missionaries, like South America. We need to find some missionaries. We're introduce you to a couple I know down there, and then the McGeorge family over in the island country of Nauru, just a little bitty island over by Australia, and so they're trying to make their way into the culture, trying to be able to minister to the people, and one of the, of course, just a little island nation, fishing's really big. And so Brother McGeorge, Brother Adam, he started going fishing and selling fish down at the market. Well, I mean, it was a hobby. I mean, it's not like he's like, oh, I got to go fishing, man, you know. But quite honestly, it wasn't just like, hey, I'm going to take time and go fishing and just relax. But literally took fishing and turned it into meeting, being able to witness to and meet. And they've literally built their church off of selling fish in the market. And then Miss Christie's a great cook, and she likes to bake and things. And of course, their baking and cooking is much different than America. But she takes her American goods and she goes and sells them down the market. Very much just a different kind of society than we are. They just have a marketplace. Everybody goes down there, and they've taken their hobbies, things that they enjoy doing in this world, and they've turned it into using that as an opportunity to be able to win souls to Christ. And I'm just saying, There shouldn't be anything in this world that I involve myself in that I would say, you know what, I'm going to shut God out of this. This is me time. This is about what I want to do. This is about time for me to relax and to just enjoy myself and enjoy my labor. No. We have the glorious light of God shining in us. And listen, friend, every bit of that light, because God is so glorious and because God is so good, it deserves to be seen. It deserves to be seen. and that we would do anything in our life that would hide the light of God from being seen, that would hide the opportunity for men to see how good God is. My soul, we have a very wicked heart. I'm just telling you, we have a very wicked heart when we think that, man, I'm just gonna hold in some of this light, and I'm just gonna enjoy God into myself, and I'm just be thankful that I've got fire protection. I'm not going to hell. No. And His desire is that He be lifted up, that He might be able to draw other men unto Himself. I think about it, and I don't know if you've never seen a bug zapper, you've missed out in life. You really have. There's much things that would entertain me, but probably one of the most simple things in this earth that I could just sit and just watch for. Just have full enjoyment, just sitting on a porch, watching bugs get zapped. I mean, since I was a little kid, I've enjoyed it. We had an old when I was a little kid, just sitting on the farm. I would enjoy going outside, and there'd be June bugs. I mean, if you don't know what June bugs are, you're blessed in life. But just June bugs everywhere, and you hear the locusts. You can ask my wife right now when you hear cicadas or locusts just making that just the little siren sound. When I get to be around that, I mean, I need a glass of sweet tea, and I just want to sit outside on the porch. That's all I really want to do when I hear those sounds, and then watch a bug zapper just go off over and over and over, and it's just a wonderful time. It just really is. If you've never got to enjoy it, you don't know anything about it. But literally what's going on is just this blue light that's shining, and it's just all these bugs are just coming. Now, if you look at it during the day, it's disgusting because there are just bug guts everywhere, but it's just drawing all these bugs, just drawn into the light and drawn to the light and drawn to the light. And I'm telling you, that's God's intent, is that we just be drawing, that we let His light so shine that men would be drawn into us. You say, Pastor, you just could have used the idea of a lighthouse and it wouldn't have been as cool. But I don't care. I told you, this was the random thoughts of my mind. Listen, God desires to give us light so that we might be able to provide greater light, not our own, but for other lost men in darkness to Him. He desires for us to shine a light. We have such a blessing. I don't know about you, but we were watching Muppet Christmas Carol last night. The love we found, and you can watch it later. But listen, I'm just sitting. I was just literally sitting there and going, "My goodness! To count my blessings and name them one by one would be literally impossible, especially this year. It's been amazing to see in pandemic with the rest of this world. I don't know if I get a $600 check or a $2,000 check or whatever check. I'm sitting here scratching my head, going, "Are people? I don't know who need. I mean." You know, I just don't know who's like, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that have need. I'm no doubt about that. I don't know any of them. I don't. I mean, I don't. I look at it and I go, good grief. Are we really going to spend all that money for what? Well, why? And you say, you just have a charmed life. No. I have a good God. Amen. I'm a really good God. He's provided more and more. And friend, listen, as the world gets darker and darker, we have opportunity to shine the light farther and farther and farther. Amen. Let's just have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.